Welcome to the Buyer's Desk, your weekly resource for all things natural food retail.
This season, we're shaking things up with shorter weekly episodes to fit your busy schedule.
Each month, we dive into SPINS data, explore trends with industry leaders, spotlight emerging brands, and share actionable strategies to help you thrive.
Get ready to explore the world of natural food retail. Welcome back. It's Angela here on the Buyer's Desk, and I am thrilled to be joined today by my friend, Colleen Noel. She's the owner of Diane's Natural Market and Sunflower Health Foods in the great state of Florida. How's it going today, Colleen?
It's going great, Angela. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Not only have you newly been elected to the Infra Board of Directors, but like so many of our members, you are an independent grocery operator, and we have a theme this month of independence. So I want you to give our listeners just like a little bit of background about who you are, maybe how you got here, anywhere you want to talk about, and then we'll dive right into what it means to be an independent operator. So Colleen, tell me about yourself.
Thanks, Angela. So I am relatively new to the health food industry. About 4 years ago, we decided that we wanted to get out of corporate America and do something different, and ended up getting into the independent health food industry. And to be honest with you, we did not have a retail background when we were looking to buy a business. We said, no retail, no restaurants. I now own not only a retail store, but one with a cafe. So, it was definitely a departure from what we'd done before, and we absolutely love it. I have embraced this wholeheartedly. We have met so many amazing people. I do have a financial background, so that was kind of good. So the money perspective was okay, but you know, learning all about health foods and being an independent health food store was very overwhelming.
Okay, so I have to ask. Right? Like retail and restaurants are off the table, but here we are. Like, is it like some kismet story? You like walked into a store, you just felt like this was the right place. Like, is there a tipping point you could talk us through?
Absolutely. It's kind of funny that you say that about the walked into the place and felt it. When this was first proposed to me, I was a little bit nervous because, you know, I am of the days of health food stores where they were like dark and dingy and not very many people shop there. So when I was brought to Diane's to check it out, I was like, wow, this is very different than what I thought it would be. Even not that I hadn't been in health food stores, but I guess I hadn't really paid attention to how much they'd evolved. So we were really enticed by the fact that Diane's had been in the community for 35 years. And it's very much a staple of the community. We really wanted to give, and sorry, I keep saying we, because my husband and I own it together, but we wanted to give back to the community. We love to be and do something good. Like that's really important to us to do something we're proud of and be involved in something we're proud of. So, you know, this kind of ticked all the buckets for us. Like it was just that box. And it just became what we wanted to do and where we wanted to be.
I think that's amazing. So even kind of thinking about what it meant to operate a health food store, adding the fact that you are an independent operator is an even bigger consideration. Tell me a little bit about what that means, especially given that you teed this up perfectly, telling me you left a corporate background.
So that's one thing that, you know, I wanted to be able to do my own thing. So independence does mean freedom, to be honest. Means a lot of other things too, but that was really exciting to be able to work really hard kind of for myself and to achieve something that I really believed in 100%. You know, no matter what I did, there were always things that happened that, you know, maybe you weren't quite on board with. So this was amazing because it was all about what we wanted to do. We have a team, of course, so we have to listen to everybody that way. But that was one of the things about being independent and being able to help people more easily than when you have to go through some sort of hierarchy to get things done. So that was really exciting, an exciting point of what we wanted to do with the independent thing, why it really, I think, appealed to us. The only thing too that I did want to add is it was really scary because we didn't know what we were doing. Right from the first, even before we bought this store, we had heard about Infra from the owners that we purchased it from who were not in Infra. And that was something that we decided we were going to strive for right away. So very quickly, we decided we wanted to get involved in something that could help us do this properly and give us some guidance. And probably might not be the right word, but definitely give us some guidance and insights.
Okay, so I love that. And I really hope that you have found a community. You know, we are working on this sort of vibe that is independent doesn't mean being alone, right? And so like having different operators and different styles of doing a similar thing in the grocery retail space while still respecting that there is a vast diversity of the way that you could do a thing. But I would love it if you would talk me through a little bit about what it means to you, too, to be a health food store, right? You know, we have an enormous amount of members whose story goes something like this. I got sick. My spouse got sick. My kid got sick. I realized how important, you know, both food and supplements are to just like being a human on this planet. I decided to open a grocery store so that I could like feed the community. And it is like this big value mission for them. You decided that you wanted to get out of the corporate world. You wanted to have your own freedom to do your entrepreneurial thing. And yet you end up in this industry that has such deep like value and mission. So how does that, tell me a little bit about where you fit in there.
That's actually a really good point and a good question, because we don't come from the health food background. Nobody got sick. Not that there hasn't been illness in my family. That wasn't a motivation. It was, as I said, more about doing something that we felt good about. I've always been healthy. Like, you know, I was very lucky growing up. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, made a lot of homemade meals. We were always, supplements were part of our life, not like huge, but part of it. Always trying to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables, you know, just regular, everyday, healthy stuff. But in recent years, I did have a stint at a not-for-profit that raised service dogs. Well, we provided service dogs to veterans with PTSD. And so I learned a lot about medications and being on lots of medications and what they can do for your life and how important it was for these people to pursue a different health journey by getting this service animal and finding more natural ways to deal with everything that they were going through. So, you know, that kind of spoke to me. So when this door opened up, it was really exciting to see what else we could learn from it and what other opportunities there are in the whole of the world for natural health food stores. You know, providing health journeys for people, it's so hard for gluten, people need to be gluten-free to find things. So just being able to be part of that was something that really enticed us into buying this type of industry.
Well, I'm gluten-free, and I will tell you, it has come so far in like, let I don't know, 15 years, 20 years. Like, our options used to be this big, and now there's like, now it's like, gosh, you go to really conventional restaurants, you get the little GF sign, and that's amazing. Out of curiosity, did you grow up a natural food shopper? Did you eat carob instead of chocolate?
I did not. I ate chocolate when I ate chocolate, dark chocolate, so a little bit healthier, but no, I did not. As I said, just a regular, healthy diet, not a lot of processed foods, just because of the way our lifestyle was. And I think how things were back then too, right? It's harder now to be healthy and to eat healthy. And so being able to be part of something that gives people that option and more options and more opportunity. And, you know, one of our passions was giving it, not providing it to people, not only just to have different products, but clean products that we vet, that they don't have to come into our store and think, spend 20 hours reading a label with all these names that they can't pronounce. So we pride ourselves on that. And then there's also providing it to them for a decent price. And that's one of the things that really thrilled us about Infra, and we've really taken advantage of. This store that we bought, is, as I said, was in the community for 35 years. And everyone said, it's a beautiful store. The staff is amazing. But the prices are horrible. They're outrageously high. And so we came in here with a focus to how can we make healthy living affordable? And that was so important to us. And Infra has helped us do that. And we've done a lot of other things too, but that's been part of it for us.
I love that. You know, on so many levels, we expect that the consumer is going to understand that value can mean different things, right? Like the value proposition, like, of course, you're going to pay $29.99 a pound for this grass-fed, you know, super taken care of beef product. But at the end of the day, there are many people who would like to be healthy and their budget is what their budget is. And so I've always thought that was really interesting. I appreciate the kind of public relations campaign around redefining value. And at the same time, grocery dollars are grocery dollars, right?
Right. Absolutely. And we, you know, we make no bones about the fact that, yes, our prices are a bit higher because, as you said, what you're getting. And there is a cost to ensuring that the products are healthy, clean.
I've got to believe that that's some amount of commitment to customer service on the floor on your end, which is an assumption on my part, but I see you are nodding, so I feel like it's okay, right? Like, I do feel like you need at least a little bit of a knowledgeable staff hanging out on the floor, at least for some portion of the day, A, to help new customers, but also B, to make sure that people understand that value message. I don't think there's a sign, a shelf talker, an end cap that will ever convey that as much as a knowledgeable staff member.
You are so right. And being independent, we have that flexibility. When people come into our store, our customers come in, they know someone's going to ask them, do you need help? We'll show them things. We'll talk about products. And, you know, it can be so overwhelming, especially if you're starting on a new food journey or having to take, you know, new supplements for different things. So we pride ourselves on that. And it's definitely a different level of service than what you do get in a non-independent retail store. So we love that part of it. And our staff does too. You know, there's a feeling when they go home at the end of the day that they've accomplished something and they've helped people as well.
100%. What could be more important than the food you feed yourself and your family, right? And I totally agree that I find like this really beautiful kind of mission-centric piece of that. You know, you got the person that's a little bit extroverted, a little bit service-oriented. You know, you bring someone into the store, they're telling you about their health or their family's health, which is like radically personal, right? Like, I just met you and now I know all of these things about your digestion. And yet, like it can be really, really rewarding. So I love that, which also brings me to like a kind of an interesting thing I'm thinking about. So you're acquiring this business, you and learning natural food industry at the same time. I would think just owning the business alone would be this steep learning curve. And yet we really do have an industry that requires, you know, some knowledge, a little bit of know-how, and frankly, like an experience. So what is my question here, Colleen? I'm more or less saying, A, good job you, but also B, like, I don't know, like, was one harder than the other? Would you say that, would you walk me through that a little bit without a really solid question?
Yeah, absolutely. No, and you know, it's really funny because you had said something earlier on when we were speaking about the industry and the people in it. And so one thing we found really early on was there's such a collaborative nature. We're independent, but we're not. And that is overwhelming to us. So we also had, thank goodness, staff here that could help continue with the day-to-day teaching of the customers and us. I would follow people around. I was like, this, it was crazy. I probably drove them crazy, especially my store manager who has 34 years of, you know, she can tell you everything about every food, every supplement. She's amazing. But we also immersed ourselves in shows. I remember the first show we went to, and it was actually Soho. So it's a very educational show. We met owners from all over Florida and probably a few other areas too, because we have good friends in Georgia. And they were talking about everything. We were sharing everything. It wasn't like, oh, I can't tell you how I do this because I don't want you to, you know, be my competition. It didn't matter. So we soaked all of that up. So that was really helpful. Very tiring because, you know, you're still trying to run the store as well. But that's one of the really important things that you need to do as an independent. And so much is offered out there, just taking advantage of it.
You know, Soho is actually a really interesting example because to add a little bit of complexity to my not question, you think about even just the wellness space. And it is pretty much required that you have some amount of knowledge about brands, right? Because let's just take vitamin D3, for example. Almost every brand makes a vitamin D3, right? And they probably make a tablet and maybe they make a liquid as well. So not only do you know that you have to carry this particular product, but then you have to navigate the brand piece. And then to make it all the more interesting, you know, we've seen in really fascinating explosions of supplements and even just the past handful of years where there are now, I mean, for me, I like got a preview of a brand telling us like what some of their new SKUs were. And I'm at my computer, like Googling things I've never seen before. And I've been in this industry 20 years, you know, So wellness alone, really challenging, but I love thinking about the trade show as the place where not only you're meeting your peers, you're connecting with brands because, you know, knowledge about the brand, but also the personal relationships that you build with people in those positions are, you know, I feel like that is kind of critical to some of your decision making. And then on top of that, too, then you're kind of learning that like general piece.
Right. And, you know, you bring up a really interesting point about brands and being an independent. We have that option to try new things. And if I leave it on my shelf for 6 months, you know, I have a longer time frame to let it try and gain some traction. We can also decide who we want to partner with. You know, in our industry, in the independent industry, there are some brands that are very supportive and there are some brands who, you know, they're a little less supportive. They're more corporate. So, you know, we can partner with the brands that support the independents and help those brands as well. I love when we get new brands in that are just starting out. You know, it's kind of fun being a trial ground for something that, you know, maybe on TikTok in like, you know, a month or two.
Oh my goodness, Colleen, if you guys figure out how to like fully capitalize on TikTok trends, like let's talk offline because I feel like it makes so much sense to me and yet it comes so fast and some of them are just, I mean, honestly, just being the mom of two teenage girls, the type of things sometimes they ask me for, I'm like, what are you talking about and where did you get that? And the answer is usually TikTok.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but in the supplement space, absolutely too, because, you know, there's a part of consumer feedback that is really important, right? Like you don't know what happens necessarily when you sell a particular thing. So the only thing you can do is kind of be open to a customer coming back to you. Actually, let me ask this. Do you have a formal process for getting customer feedback at your store?
We don't. I mean, we use social media, but not really. We talk to them. It's informal, but we talk to them. And being an independent and being a smaller store, you know, you have your regulars that come in and they're added to constantly, but that's the most important part of it. And sometimes someone will try something new and I'll even say, hey, next time you're in, let us know how that worked. Did you like it? So that's another great part about being independent is getting to know your customers and having the interpersonal customer feedback as opposed to just having someone write you an email or, you know, posting something on Facebook, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We like those good posts on Facebook.
Oh, no, I like it all, but I agree. You know, I think so many of my conversations with people who operate stores comes down to customer service on the floor. The feedback loop that is what a customer tells you is, you know, their perception, therefore their reality, therefore sometimes feedback you can do something with. In general, when you cut in a new item and you say you can give it a longer framework, do you guys have kind of category management or category review policies, or you guys are using feedback and staff feedback, or like, how does that go for you?
That's an interesting question. When we bought the store, one thing I didn't mention was that the store had no point of sale system. It was cash register only. And so obviously to get into info, one of our things that we did very quickly was put a point of sale system in. I say quickly.
I'm sure it was not quick. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, when you're hand pricing everything, it's not very easy to get a lot of data. We moved to a point of sale system that still didn't manage inventory appropriately. So we're in our second one already, and it's only been 4 years. But so we are starting to get into category management. We were extremely blessed too because we brought in the better pricing. We brought in more products. We listened to our customers and brought in things that they wanted, which is a really neat thing to be able to do too. When they say, oh, I found this somewhere else, can you get it for me? And we grew so fast over the last 4 years. So So category management's fallen by the wayside a little bit, but we do make sure now that we can get our sales data. We do track it. And if it's not working, we do say goodbye to some things. And, you know, going to the shows and bringing a new product constantly, that requires you to category manage it, because I do not have an unending supply of shelf space. I mean, some days I wish I did. So, you know, it's like, oh, what are we going to move out of this section? So do I have a formal category management process? No, but we are working towards it with Rachel, and can't wait to get going more on that. But we do have our own type of category management.
I think that's amazing, actually. I think that balancing kind of gut reaction and data makes an enormous amount of sense. I love giving people like a long runway and some leeway, because you never know, you know, like it's like could be seasonal, could be just you need one person to come in and do one thing with a thing and then it flies. I was just more or less curious, because I think that kind of comes back to that independent theme, which is you can do what you want. And there's, you know, on some level, like, it's very cool to be able to do what you want. If you decide long term you want structure, heck yeah. If you decide you want to drop your second POS and try for a third, you can do that too. You know, I mean, like, you have a lot of options, which can be both a burden and a blessing. I more or less just wanted to clarify that I was not advocating for capital C, capital M category management policy.
Oh my goodness. Yes. No, there's so many things to do as an independent that, you know, unless they had a full team of category managers, which, you know, that would kind of take away from being independent a little bit, because we are a smaller scale. There's so many things that you can do with it. So even if we get a policy, and I'm air quoting that, it's not going to necessarily be a formal policy.
You air quote, I usually say, if we get a policy, like a lowercase p policy, you know.
Yeah. I like that. I haven't used that one before.
It's yours if you need it. But yeah, absolutely. All right, Colleen, this has been a really fascinating conversation. I still feel a little bit like, good job, you. Like 4 years in, like did the business owner and the natural food thing all together. I'm so happy that you are a part of Infra, and astonished that after 4 years, you want to be in service to the rest of the membership doing the board of directors thing. So thank you so much. When I asked you to be on our podcast, was there anything at all you wanted to make sure to talk about that we did not touch on today?
You know, I don't think so, because you asked a lot of questions and a lot of chats came out of this. I can't say enough for what, and I'm really not just doing this because I'm a newly elected Infra board member, but one of the reasons I wanted to run for the board is because what Infra did for us as an independent. I don't know that with everything we had, like you said, learning a whole new industry, also trying to run the store, and I don't know that we'd be here today without Infra, to be honest with you, or be as successful as we are. So, you know, I just think it's the best thing for independents, and, you know, shout it from the rooftops. That's what the only thing, because you're not independent. And knowing that really helps.
Yeah, no, I think independent does not mean being alone really like sums up that vibe. It was a really brilliant stroke on the part of one of the women in our marketing department, and it just makes so much sense. Please continue to do what you would like to do. Please share with others so that they can make the same decisions about what they would like to do. And otherwise, Colleen, so happy that we were able to make this happen. Love that you were able to give us this time. Congratulations on 4 years and the board seat. And I look forward to catching up with you. Maybe we revisit this conversation in a year or a year and a half and see what another year or year and a half does on the business front.
That sounds great. Thank you so much for having me, Angela. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Join us for our next episode, where Chris Sorensen is talking to Seth Goldman from Just Tea. Looking forward to the end of July. Take care, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. My name is Catherine, and I'm the Vice President of Sales at Bachan's Japanese Barbecue Sauce, here to talk to you about why independence matters. Bachan's is an independently owned barbecue sauce company and was born from our founder's multi-generational family recipe that was passed down to him by his bachan, the Japanese word for grandma. We love being able to bring this special sauce to the Infra consumers through fan favorite flavors like the original, or through more authentic offerings like miso. We have also entered new segments through our Japanese dipping sauces, which are made with stone ground sesame. Our multi-generational family recipe has inspired the bold, fresh umami flavor and clean ingredients in all of our sauces. And the delicious flavor has allowed us to bring an authentic Japanese-inspired flavor to the barbecue sauce category. Our independence has allowed us to bring genuine Japanese flavors to all consumers too. Head to our website, www.bachans.com, or our social channels, at TryBachans, for recipe inspiration and to learn more.
As we wrap up this episode of The Buyer's Desk, we'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the incredible infra staff, contributors, dedicated independent retailers, and visionary natural food brands and business partners that made this episode possible.
Stay tuned for more inspiring insights and stories in the world of natural food retail. Until next time, thank you for your support. Angela Bozo, co-host and administrator.
Chris Sorensen, co-host and producer.
Kim Rout, executive producer and segment contributor.
Jim Olson, Spins segment manager.
Austin Hinkle, audio engineer.
Sarah Super, wellness strategist.
Madeline Ware, marketing writer, editor, and digital manager.
Haley Craig, audio engineer and segment contributor.
Raina Kittredge, segment contributor.
Bella Sislo, outreach manager and segment contributor.